Let us pray. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, as we speak and listen to your word this morning, may we be ready to receive your direction in our lives and to follow you unto eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Doubting Thomas. At the center of our reflection this morning is one of the disciples of Jesus, Thomas, or Doubting Thomas, as we often call him. Doubting Thomas because he did not believe when the other disciples told him they had seen the risen Lord. Might I remind you as a way of introduction that in John chapter 11 verse 16, Thomas had committed himself to following Jesus when he asked the other disciples to also go that they might die with Christ. In John 14, verse 5, he readily admitted that he did not understand what Jesus meant when he described his departure. Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? He was a sincere man. And in our gospel reading this morning, we are told that Thomas was absent when Jesus revealed himself to his disciples in Jerusalem on Easter, and when he heard this assertion that Jesus had visited them with his blessings, Thomas remained skeptical and even obstinate. He demanded evidence. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my finger into his side, I will not believe. Probably Thomas imagined that in doubting, he would engineer the other disciples to provide some concrete evidence that would lead him to the truth of Christ's resurrection. And indeed, he found his way because Jesus appeared to him personally and showed him what he wanted to see, and allowed him to touch what he wanted to touch. Was it not Pierre Abelard who might have been right when he suggested that the beginning of wisdom is found in doubting? By doubting, we come to the question, and by seeking, we may come upon truth. But William Shakespeare was contradictory of the same when he claimed that our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt. Whether it be wanting to know something and so doubting first and then looking for evidence, or being afraid to engage in something because we doubt that it might not work, I think we all are doubters in one way or the other, both in our public and in our Christian lives. For example, we may be having doubts about our faith in God and what God has promised that he will do in our lives. Or maybe we suffer from some kind of indecision about the real ways we need to serve our God or relate to one another. So we all are doubters because doubt is a state of indecision, and we are often indecisive, or a state of hesitancy, and we are very hesitant people. We easily reject given propositions or hesitate to make a leap of faith. But you see, Thomas's demand is not an isolated case in Scripture. In John chapter 4, verse 48, Jesus told the official in Capernaum that unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. So we see that there were other people who demanded concrete evidence before they would trust Jesus. So what do we learn from this encounter between Thomas and Jesus? The first is that when Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, Thomas was not with them, and so he missed the first blessings of the risen Savior. Now, John doesn't tell us in his gospel why Thomas was not there, whether he deliberately stayed away, or maybe that he was disappointed with Jesus because he had, after all, died and was gone, or whether he was unavoidably absent. Maybe he had overslept that morning, or maybe because he was sick. We are not told why. But all we know is that on that first Easter day, when Jesus came through locked doors to his disciples and blessed them and showed them his wounded hands and side and rekindled their faith and joy, when they saw their Lord and were overjoyed, Thomas was not with them. And he missed those blessings because he was absent. It's a perfect example of how irregular church attendees might miss the blessings of Jesus Christ when they come to worship together with God. Something you would love to avoid missing. For many people, scheduling and making time for church every Sunday can feel like a test in itself. It can be hard to part with what we see as free time, especially when it conflicts with other things we really want to do. But there is something reverent about simply being inside a church. It gives us a physical space to connect and draw closer to God and to realize that there is something out there bigger than ourselves. In corporate worship, we are elevated to a state where we are opening ourselves to God and trying to understand his message. In coming to church, we are making time for God and physically allowing him into our lives as we worship him. When we gather together, we remember the promise which Jesus gave that if only two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be in their midst without fail and without miss. But although the Lord's people come together on the Lord's day, broadly speaking, somebody is bound to be absent. So let's learn this first lesson from Thomas, namely that if we do not attend church regularly, we may miss some blessing of Jesus that come with fellowship in the household of God with one another. And let us remember the spiritual blessing of disciplined regularity in coming to church. So fortunately, Thomas did not repeat his mistake because we are told that the following Sunday he was back in his place and the blessing he missed on the first Sunday he received on the second. But there is a second thing we can learn from this, and that is about Thomas's skepticism. This is to say Thomas doubted the fact that other disciples had seen Jesus. He did not trust them. He did not trust that they were telling the truth. Doubting Thomas. And this attitude is not alien to us because it has been argued that one of the consequences of postmodernism is that it has deprived the grand narrative of the past in different spheres of their power to prescribe to people what they should be ascribing or attaching value to. In the religious domain, too, it has caused the resultant value gap to be filled in by the values that individuals obtain by shopping around in the religious marketplace. The result is that people are generally skeptical about everything and anything, and even about the existence of God and what God has said through Jesus that he will do to us, his followers. As John W. Stott commented, the only certain confidence that people have nowadays is that they lack all confidence. Everything we know is characterized by disillusion and doubt, and not by certainty. But this is not a 21st century thing, because verse 25 of our text, when the other disciples said to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord," Thomas replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, I will not believe." I think most of us are closer to Thomas in his doubt than to Peter, James, and John in their faith. And I think most people would admire Thomas for his obstinate insistence on empirical verification, because postmodern 21st century people are given to broad skepticism, subjectivism, or relativism, a general suspicion of reason. It is the collapse of the Enlightenment vision. Unless he could see and touch and hear, he refused to believe. After all, Thomas might have said to himself, "Peter and John saw at the beginning of the Easter morning and believed. Mary Magdalene heard Jesus' voice and believed. The other apostles saw his hands and his side. So, on those grounds, is it not right for Thomas to demand something in his own experience?" And indeed, Jesus did respond to his demand. He had heard Thomas's challenge, the evidence he demanded to see and touch his wounds. Then he said to Thomas, verse 27, "Put your finger here and see my hand. Reach out your hand, put it into my side. Stop doubting. Believe." Now, friends, would you notice with me that although Jesus gave Thomas what he demanded, he rebuked him for demanding it. Stop doubting and believe. In the Greek, it is rendered as "do not become unbelieving." Thomas is being challenged to change, to become like the others who, upon seeing Jesus, embrace him with faith, even without touching. And that's important because Jesus pronounces the blessing even on those who don't see, but who nevertheless believe. Verse 29, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, but have believed." To be sure, friends, what Jesus commended was not faith without evidence, but faith without sight. In this encounter, Jesus points forward beyond Thomas, beyond the apostolic circle, to the world of the church, to believers who come to faith through the testimony of the apostles. And juxtaposed in these verses are faith based on sight and faith based on the word of those who testify. The faith of Thomas is not necessarily blemished because of his need for sight. It is simply privileged, because few would ever have the gift of what these disciples have experienced. Jesus has in mind people like us who are now reading this gospel and have not had the kind of opportunity Thomas had to touch his wounds. But John has provided us with a record of signs that can serve us in a similar capacity. While not doing what Thomas did, we have his story, and this should give us a reasonable ground for belief. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in Christ is not groundless. It is based on the testimony of eyewitnesses. There are millions of people throughout the world who have believed through the testimony of eyewitnesses because the reasonableness of faith depends on the credibility of the witnesses. That is what the Apostle John means in verse 30 and 31 of our text. Jesus did many miraculous signs in public, which are not recorded in this book. But these were written so that those who were not there may believe in the testimony of those who were there. And then by believing, they will receive life. So you see, testimony is the way to faith, and faith is the way to life. Real life, new life, and life in its fullness. And now thirdly and finally, we see Thomas worshiping the risen Savior. In response to Thomas's demand, Jesus said, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." I think after the experience, Thomas probably fell on his knees saying, "My Lord and my God." There is no doubt that Thomas was a sincere seeker after the truth, so that as soon as he saw, he believed. And as soon as he believed, he worshipped. And isn't it so beautiful that although Jesus rebuked his unbelief, Jesus accepted his worship. And I am sure that in his preaching in his latter years, he urged his hearers not to make his mistake, but rather to believe on his testimony that he had seen Jesus. Doubting Thomas, skeptical Thomas, but now at last, believing Thomas. Friend, is there something you are doubting about God? Maybe something concerning God or your Christian life? What if Christianity isn't the truth? What if after you die, that is it, nothing more? Maybe you've been struggling with an issue in your life and you have been praying to God and asking for his help, but you haven't had any answer and you feel like nobody is at home in heaven. Maybe you've questioned whether God has forgiven you and you have this residue of guilt and shame that you cannot seem to get rid of and you wonder, am I really significant? Maybe you question whether the Bible can really be trusted in a post-modern world, post-modern day of 21st century relativism. The truth is there is a spiritual virus that has engulfed Christian people for far too long. It is the virus of doubt. Thomas was the hero. But then he believed and worshipped. I pray that we all may come to the true knowledge of the risen Savior through the testimony of the apostles and those who have gone before us. May God save us from our doubts and fears and forestall the hope that strengthens for a bright and glorious eternity in heaven, where we worship with Thomas, my Lord and my God. And may we remember the good news of Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let us bring to God our feeble and wavering faith so that he may strengthen us even as we lift up our voices to God in the words of that hymn, My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we want to confess to you for times when we have doubted your word, even your word in our lives, and the experiences of our Lord and our Savior. Forgive us and change us from doubters into believers. For this is our prayer, our sincere prayer, through Christ our Lord. Amen.